Friends, wherever you are in the world, we are welcoming you to the second segment of Radio Biafra from here in the Bay Area of San Francisco on this day, the fifth day of July in the year of our Lord 2013. We know it's gone to the sixth day in some parts of the world. We are welcoming you wherever you are on this planet. You know that Radio Biafra is listened to and received in every country of the world where you have Biafrans. My name is Nnamdi Kanu. I'm the host of Radio Biafra. And by the grace of God, a great servant of the wonderful people of Biafra, we are the residents of our dear brother, barrister Emeka Madwewesi, and being entertained and being hosted excellently well by not just himself, the wife and the entire family as well. We also have our brother here, Chukwune Dum Amajoyi, and our sister, Chidera, and a lady who will introduce herself to you later on. Our studio sessions have been packed. It is also packed today. We are here to bring you news, views, commentaries, and analysis regarding how we are all going to get Biafra together. Biafra is a collective exercise. It's not going to be left for a few people to accomplish. We need those of you in the United States, and I'm delighted to say that all the four distinguished panelists here with myself, co-hosting and presenting this program, are all resident in the U.S. So that goes to show that the critical mass, the critical number of 20%, which is Pareto's law, is very clearly in evidence. We would like people in the U.S. to phone in into this radio show this evening, for some of you, and try to make their contributions known to the whole world. If you're afraid of Biafra, you tell us why. If you love Biafra, please tell us why. If we're doing it wrong, if we're getting it wrong, please advise us. We'll listen to your advice and we'll take it on board. If we're doing it right, then we deserve your accolade as well. But more importantly is that we need the mass participation of everybody involved in this very process. And before I go on to Chidera to bring you the news headlines and the accompanying summary, I'll go round the table one after the other to please for you to hear from the people that are surrounding this table today. If I can start from my left as usual, please tell us your name, where you are, and why you're here today, please.
Yeah, I'm in my house.
Yes, you are. We know that.
Emeka Madewesi.
But you didn't go to work though, did you?
No, we are on holiday.
Okay, good.
We had a holiday yesterday. Then,
yes. Is today holiday again in America?
Yeah, for some of us, it's a holiday.
Is it?
Yeah.
2 days?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, it's a company holiday. It's corporate holiday for some companies.
Oh, okay.
So some companies
so
extend
it,
yeah, some don't.
Okay.
So Emeka Madewesi from Otolo Newi.
We're in your home.
I'm in my home.
Yes.
Hosting Radio Biafra.
Thank you very much. Please, and my dear sister, please.
My name is Priscilla Nusiem. I'm from Oba Zumberi.
Mberi.
Yeah, Mberi. Yeah, I'm married to Mberi, but I was born in Aba. I'm from Ngwa.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, and please, my dear brother, please.
Yeah, we're welcoming you guys back for the second edition of the program, and we hope all the people in Biafra land, all the people in California, and all the people in the U.S. come out and support this program.
Thank you very much, please, and our dear sister.
Hello, wonderful people of Biafra. My name is Chidera Akabo, and we welcome you back to this second edition of the broadcast. And we are hoping that those of us here in the United States call in, because this is a special broadcast for them.
Thank you very much. And can you give them the telephone number to call, please, for the avoidance of doubt? We don't want them to say that they didn't get the number, please.
For the international people, it's +1 404 789 8796. Again, +1 404 789 8796. And for those of us here in the United States, it's 404 789 8796.
Thank you very much. We are welcoming everybody to this program. We're saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be in the world, because the world is spinning, it is rotating, it is also revolving. For that reason, and that reason alone, when it is 12 midnight somewhere, it is 12 noon somewhere else on this planet. So we are welcoming you wherever you are, especially our listeners from the Far East, those of you who are dedicated in the Philippines. We have received your messages. We are very grateful that people in the Philippines are listening to Radio Biafra and willing to do everything humanly possible to make sure that Biafra is restored as quickly as possible. We can't say that the same. Of course, we have a significant number of people turning out in the United States, especially here, since we've been here in the home of our dear brother, Barrister Emeka Madewesi. But we do need many more people, not just to come here, but to phone in and also to participate and be convinced about the merit of what we're trying to do with Biafra, about the validity of what we're doing, and upon the legitimacy of what we're doing as well. We must remind our listeners that we are in court. Aina Nigeria Nona Uli Ibe, we are in court with the Nigerian government. That case was listed at Owerri. They've heard the preliminary objections. We have made our amendments, and we have refiled our case. We are in court. Biafra has been accorded what is called judicial recognition by mentioning the case in a court of law, and for Nigeria paying fine to Biafra. That goes to show there is nothing illegal about Biafra. Everything we are doing is above board and legal. We have a case that is ongoing. If somebody in the person of His Royal Majesty, Honorable Justice Eze Ozubu, retired, can be heading the Council of Elders of the Indigenous People of Biafra, if a mighty man like Dr. Dozie Ikedife Ikenga Newi can be part of what we are doing, then I see no reason why any other sane, sensible person shouldn't be part of it. What we are doing is entirely consistent with people seeking to free themselves from bondage, which Nigeria is. We fondly refer to Nigeria as the Zoological Republic because it is a zoo. We are getting reports this today, which we're going to look into later on. We're going to ask our sister to look into that very news, about to do that for us, being reported in some sections of the Nigerian media that skeletons or skulls of people were found in Aba. Some weeks ago, we were floating on the Zoo River. Now they are digging up dead bodies. We have forgotten the 10 people found at Mburichi. That's correct, in the Boro Pit at Mburichi, in near Omuagwo. These types of deaths are all over the place where we come from. What are we going to stop it? Why all these incessant killings? Who is killing who? Why is this going on? We are running away from where we come from, and we are also dying in the process of beginning them. How are we going to stop all this nonsense? And why are we not moved as a people to do something to arrest what is very clearly a very distressing and ugly development. Before we go on to take your calls, before we go on to listen to your views, before we go on to deliberate on how we're going to get Biafra, we'll go for the very brief news headlines and accompanying summary. Please, Chidera, if you can proceed.
The news headlines. Again, we're reporting that federal government is to decide on compensation for Boko Haram victims. Also, military is now involved in 28 states as insecurity increases. Federal government discards revolution of Egypt's President Morsi. Governor Yari of Zamfara plans to arm militia, and also that that governors to deploy more troops to Warri. Now the news in full. The Presidential Committee on Dialogue and Peaceful Resolution of Security Challenges in the North has said the federal government will soon decide on the compensation for Boko Haram victims. In a statement yesterday in Abuja by its secretary, Esther Gonda, the committee said, contrary to some reports, it never ruled out compensation for victims of Boko Haram insurgency. The statement explained that what the committee's chairman, Kabiru Tanimu Turaki, said was that the committee would look into the issue of victim support and not to cancel compensation for them. Nigeria's security situation has worsened in recent times with the deployment of military personnel in 28 out of 36 states of the Federation to assist in restoring peace. National Security Advisor NSA Colonel Sambo Dasoki retired, who gave the indication yesterday at the ongoing National Civil Military Dialogue in Abuja, was, however, emphatic that the government was winning the war on terrorism and other organized violent crimes. According to him, the past decade has witnessed multiple forms of unrest from armed robbery, kidnapping, electoral, criminal to ethno-religious violence. He said the development has affected the level of professionalism of the military. The federal government said on Thursday that it received the news of the removal of Egypt's president, Mr. Mohamed Morsi, and the suspension of the country's constitution with grave concern. Morsi was overthrown by the country's military after days of protest near the presidential palace. In a statement in Abuja, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs described the development as a truncation of the aspirations of the Egyptian people to freely express themselves through the ballot box. Members of the Senate on Thursday differed on the plan of Governor Abdulaziz Yari of Zamfara State to arm a local militia in order to assist the police in fighting crime in the state. A motion brought by Senator Bashir Mohammed and 49 others called attention to the governor's plan, warning that the move was capable of worsening the country's fragile security situation. The motion prayed the Senate to urge President Goodluck Jonathan to prevail on Yari to rescind his decision to arm vigilance groups in the state with rifles. Following renewed ethnic clashes between neighboring Ijaws and Ishekiris in Warri North local government area of Delta State, the federal government has deployed more soldiers to the warring communities, being an aftermath of Tuesday's killing of innocent persons by some militant groups alleged to be Ijaws. Nigerian Tribune gathered that the latest development was orchestrated by a gun duel between soldiers and Ijaw youths on Wednesday night. It was gathered on Wednesday that communities such as Bokoda Udo, Ajameta, Obahoro, and Ayerode Zion, which were under attack during the mayhem, have been deserted following threats of reprisal attacks by both sides. Many Ishekiris had fled their war torn abroad to seek refuge in towns like Warri and environs. Although many leaders of thoughts, both ethnic groups were not reachable to speak on the renewed feud between the two ethnic groups, and Ijaw opinion leader Comrade Felix Adanse intimated that peace could only return to the communities if the oppression and marginalization of Ijaws by neighboring Ishekiris is resolved.
Yes, thank you very much for that. We are very grateful. Thank you very, very much for giving us the news. We have another very distressing news. My dear sister, Mrs. Anderson, do you have the news in front of you, please?
Yes.
Are you in a position to give us some rundown, so to speak, of that news? Are you prepared to do that now?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Yes, go ahead.
On Sunday, June 20, 23rd, it was reported from by the Daily News that a 123-year-old Onyekachi was killed by the police. But when the police was questioned, they found out that there are some more bodies that was found in Aba Azumini Highway. Where they called the dumping ground, no man's dumping ground. So that means that what they were saying is that the bodies were used by the rituals, but the police PPRO of public relations in Aba,
yes,
Geoffrey Obonna, confirmed the incidents, but denied that the young man was killed for the rituals, even though that there are some organs, the young man's organs were removed. So that's the quite wrong dump.
Oh my God in heaven. This is very, very serious. This is what is happening. This is what is happening where we come from. When we say we want Biafra, a lot of people don't understand why we want Biafra, why we are doing what we are doing. Please, before we go to take any calls, Barrister, can you tell me in layman's language if what is happening in Aba, if what happened at Ezu River, if what is going on at Mburichi, if all these unexplained deaths and disappearances, all these mysterious skeletons and bodies being dug up all over Igbo land, is that normal?
No, it can never be normal. Under no stretch of imagination can anybody think that it's normal. Extrajudicial killing is something that should be abhorred by any sane society. There is no reason why, like I said before, it's evidence of the lack of training for the police. You have a police that is not trained for anything at all, except brutality. It's only in Nigeria that the police has force after its name. The police provides security, protects people in a civil society. But in Nigeria, it is called Nigerian Police Force, just like the army. Mm-hmm. So it's improper. Whenever the police does extrajudicial killing, it's a manifestation of the breakdown of the entire government, because the government is made up of the three arms, the executive, the legislature, and the judiciary. Mm-hmm. The police is part of the executive arm of the government, but when they now do the work of the judiciary, that means that there's a complete breakdown. Everybody deserves a day in court. Our constitution says that everybody who is suspected of an offense is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of competent jurisdiction. When you have the police as the arrestor, as the prosecutor, and the executor, that is, it should give everybody more than mild concern. So,
but there is no insurgency going on. Where we come from. There is no terrorism. There is no insurgency. We are fleeing from our lands.
Yes,
we are running away. Why is the killing going on? I can't, for the life of me, understand why.
The thing is that when you refuse to come, when you keep quiet over a minor thing, then you will eventually acquiesce when major things start happening.
Mm-hmm.
We've kept too much quiet over killings in Igbo land. The death of Ezu River. We are some people that I know. We are also killed.
Some people you know?
Yeah. Because Obinna Ofo happens to be someone that I have met in real life.
Is he a criminal?
I never knew if he was a criminal or not. Even if he was a criminal, people usually ask that question. Is he a criminal?
No, I'm asking.
You know, I'm a lawyer. You know, so if you say, is he a criminal? And I cannot say yes
or no.
Or no. What I know is that I met him in Lagos in September. He was a calm-looking gentleman. You know, but criminals could come in any form. But until you are proven guilty in a court of law, you are still innocent. That is a presumption of law. It's a rebuttable presumption. But nobody has gone to court to rebut that presumption of his innocence. So it could have happened to anybody. I practiced law in Nigeria for 11 years before immigrating to the United States. I did a lot of armed robbery cases, and I know that the police can frame people up for armed robbery. You know, my name wouldn't sound strange in the company of lawyers in Nigeria. You know, it's, when the name is mentioned, they will remember that this is Emeka Madewes. You know, so I know very much of the fact that police can frame people. You will be in front of your store, and then they will arrest you in company with other people, and they will request money from you. If you are unable to pay up, they will add the other. I did a case where I did not say the only word I ever say in court. The words I will use in court is announce my presence, announce my appearance, and then do you have any question for the witness? No, my lord.
And the case is dismissed.
And then the police gave evidence for days. And these were the only things I said, because I was representing the 8th accused person, who was also from Newi, who was arrested in front of his shop and charged with armed robbery. So at the end of the case, I said, I made a no-case submission on his behalf. And yes, he was discharged. Justice Orufemi Roland said, Mr. Madewesi, do you have anything to say? I said, well, my client, nothing was ever mentioned. No, there is no evidence connecting my client
whatsoever.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked the prosecutor if he had anything to say. And he said, well, since his name was not mentioned, then he should be discharged and acquitted. And he was acquitted. Now, let us look at it from what is happening now. If they were to do judicial, extrajudicial killing on all those 7 others who were convicted,
mm-hmm,
he would have been amongst them.
Yes.
This innocent
person. Of course, yes.
Would have been amongst.
Of course, if there's extrajudicial.
Because there was enough evidence connecting those others.
Anecdotal or proven evidence.
Yes, proven evidence, you know, against those. And
they call her on Skype, stay where you are. They call her on Skype, stay where you are. We are coming to you next, please. You know, stay where you are. Go ahead.
So that is why I don't like extrajudicial killing. I don't even like death penalty. Because, especially when it relates to Nigeria, how can you see, you've not been able to do anything. You've not been able to do anything that has advanced civilization. Now you are killing somebody because you think the person committed an offense. You have framed up evidence. You know, I mentioned Lawrence Anene.
Yes.
And Mondo Sumbo.
Sumbo, yes.
And DSP Yamu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who was their main man. He was a police officer. He was in charge of. Do you remember that there was Justice Ikomi?
Mm-hmm.
If you remember that there was a justice of the who was head of the armed robbery tribunal in Benin, who was charged with killing his orderly.
He was charged with killing his orderly, but he was discharged.
He was discharged and acquitted. A justice of Benin High Court was charged because a policeman accused him of having killed a police orderly. And the only evidence was that when he was attacked, he mentioned, Oga, why are you doing this? Oga, why are you doing this? And then they now said that the Oga he was referring to was the justice whom he was acting for as the orderly. But who is the Oga in this case? Iyamu. Because Iyamu was the DSP who came to kill the man so that he would use it to frame the judge.
Incredible.
And they successfully framed the judge, disgraced him, but he was discharged and acquitted because they didn't have enough evidence. So these are the things that some of us know, but we just felt that we have to find some way to live our lives. We are trying to give people the opportunity to understand how the Nigerian society works and why we should be given an opportunity to run a different government.
So this is happening. The reason why you're telling us all this now on air is that you are privy to all this information.
Yes.
How about the ones we don't know about?
There are so many, you know, there are so many things people don't know anything about. There are so many things. I said I am against extrajudicial killing of any type. When you arrest somebody, take the person to court. I will not. I did a case where somebody was framed, and they brought other witnesses who said, who wrote that we don't know this person. We don't know this person. We've never seen him before. And they were made to write different statements saying that they knew him and how he committed the offense.
Yes, yes.
So eventually, somehow, I got hold of all the photocopies of all these things, which they don't usually give to lawyers in Nigeria. They will not give you the statements made by, they will not, everything is done, you are blindfolded. Unlike here in the United States, where you have proof of evidence, where you have everything that will be said in court.
But people go to law school, what law do you study then in Nigeria? If this law is not to seek for evidence, what type of law are you studying in Nigeria?
If Nigerian legal system is based on ancient British legal system, modified for the colonies. You know, when it was modified for the colonies, we inherited the same system, which is an oppressive system. It's not meant for... It's like...
For civilization. Yeah,
it's not meant for kindreds. You know, it's meant for subjects.
Okay.
Do you see the difference?
Not for citizens.
It's not for citizens. It's meant for... So, our leadership inherited the authority of the colonial masters. So, we are subjects to them. Mm-hmm. Because the laws have not been in any way modified.
That's what I said. Since 1920 something, that the criminal code in Nigeria is over 100 years old.
The criminal code was just tweaked a little bit because of a few moves.
I think a lot of people are getting upset about this. Let us try to take some of these calls and see what they have to say, because it's very, very annoying the way they are killing us all over the place. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please. Your name and where you are. This is Radio Biafra.
Hello, Director. Sorry to interrupt you from listening to something. It's Vival again from London.
Yes, go ahead.
I just want to say that the situation about Nigerian police, the barrister said it. It's not supposed to be a police force. They call it a police force instead of a police service. They know what they're doing. Someone said that the whole thing, the whole country is set up to fail. So, you know, we shouldn't really press. There are so many cases. Where do you start and where do you stop? The main thing is, just to make it clear, a country that cannot run a public toilet from January to December, and a public toilet can be decent. A public toilet, as simple as it, no matter how trivial it might look, it's so important that everybody uses it. Have you asked yourself sometimes, when all these excellencies are going on to go and do something and they get deeply pressed, what do? Do they go back again to the state house? Or do they go inside the SUVs? You don't understand. Mission building is not... The cost commission building is never taken seriously in this place we adopted. So, we can't run a public toilet. We can't even grasp a football pitch. We need to give contracts to, people from our area to come and do this. Up to now. So, talking about that case, these are the reasons why we need to, why I entered actually and joined into this. Because you see things that make you think, something is fundamentally wrong. These guys are trained in the cadet. They share one fish to 10 of them. 300 of them share one toilet. And then this is when you bring out and give a Kalashnikov and expect them to do something. What do they know? For them, it's a means for them to get into the corruption train and join the queue. That's only what they do. I actually have one of my family member who probably the first person I saw who joined the police and himself when he told me he left the police and told me, if I stay here, I'm going to die. And he left. That's the first person I saw all the rubbish there and just decided to leave them and their rubbish. The only thing I wanted to ask is that I was on Facebook and I saw some of the troops made to Israel and, some pictures. And even this one in the Yantagan in the States. I've seen in the pictures of my brother Barry Fremeka. It's quite a very lanky fellow. I'm just thinking, when you come back to London, please, just think about it. Is it possible that you can also make some, we can broadcast in a location where, if it is for people that are around London, where some of us can gather or come to the studio and be part of it so that we can have the ability to see each other?
Yes, we can do that. Yes, we can do that. Definitely, we can do that. When we come to London, we'll try and get a lot of people to be part of our programming. It's a very good thing, and that's what we're going to do. Thank you very much for calling. Let us go to our sister to give us her perspectives, her views. I have an opinion about Nigeria and how Nigeria runs their judicial system. It's not just the reason why you have lawmakers is to make laws, to change draconian, to change stupid laws that they perhaps may have inherited. That hasn't been possible in the case of Nigeria. People are asking us to be part of Nigeria, to be part of one Nigeria, and we are dying every blessed day. They kill us in Anambra State, they throw us in the river. We don't have any jobs to go to. We don't have any jobs at all. Some of us go to school. We come out, our parents struggle, we suffer, we come out of school, there is nothing. And they continue to kill us. We go to the north to look for work, to trade, they kill us. We go to Yoruba land, we build houses, they sell us certificates of occupancy. After a while, they tell us, no, it's fake, it's not correct, it's not the real one. We go back, we lose our houses. We build lock-up shops in swampy areas. After 2-3 days, Yorubas will sweep us away and we leave it. They'll give us another rubbish place to go and build a stall. And we continue to perambulate. You were the one telling me today, yourself and Chidera, Barrister Madewe, said that our people are in Alaska. Alaska is where you have the Eskimos, where I think they have a permafrost there. It's permanently frozen for an entire year, for some parts of it. We are in Cambodia. We are in Hawaii. We are in a small island called Arsenal, which most people don't know about. We are everywhere in the world. We are in Brazil in great numbers. Yeah. There comes a time in life when you need to ask yourself a question. If you're an Igbo person, if you're a Biafran, ask yourself a question. Is my existence on this earth actually serving any purpose at all in Wurumbara? Because it seems to me from what is happening that we are not useful as a race. I am beginning to question our usefulness. That we did not learn anything from Ezu River. Ezu River happened because we allowed P2B to get away with killing our people, over 100 of them, fish out of the river. Now this nonsense is happening in Abia State. I am incandescent with rage. I am very, very upset. And to say I am disappointed in my people would be an understatement. To be an Igbo person is becoming like more or less like a disgrace. Please, my sister, what do you have to say?
When it comes to Nigeria and their judiciary and their police and their everything, I think we have really exhausted all our opportunities with them. And I believe that this is why Biafra should come to be. We should regain Biafra. We should establish Biafra. Thereby establishing our own court of law that will be fair to every citizen, whether big or small, without being partial or without playing some favoritism because people are there. Again, when we establish a judiciary that is very, very fair, police will not have that power to be able to get someone and beat them to death and dump their body.
It's incredible.
And things that needs to be taken away from police. They need to have their policies and procedures that they should follow without anything. They have have their own quota to do, not to do the work of the judge, the work of the barrister, the work of everybody.
But I'm asking, are these people, don't they belong to somebody? Don't somebody own them? Or own them, madam, one day and a bushy? Is it not mothers that gave birth to these people who are being killed in Igbo land almost on a daily basis, and we keep quiet, we pretend nothing is happening, we attend our functions and our meetings, and all around the world, fooling ourselves and thinking that we are very smart, fooling ourselves and thinking that somehow we are very intelligent. Sometimes I ask myself, where is this so-called fabled Igbo intelligence? And then my hand walk, where is it? Because the same thing that happened to these people that were killed can happen to me. I can go home, they can frame something, they can kill me, and that'll be the end of it. Maybe there'll be a wakekeeping somewhere, and then that's it, and I'm forgotten. What is happening is heinous, is abominable, it is a disgrace, it's a shame. Not to Nigeria, I must say, but to our people. As an Igbo person, I'm ashamed of where I come from because our people have seriously let us down. We are dying like wild animals. Let's take this call. This is Radio Biafra. Please give us your name and where you are, please. The caller on Skype, give us your name and where you are. Can you hear me? The caller on Skype, can you hear me? No, I don't think they can.
Can yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, please go ahead. This is Radio Biafra from San Francisco. Go ahead. Can you hear me? No, they can't hear me. Please, Amajoyi, go ahead. I want to get your views and opinions on this. If I allow myself to continue speaking about our people, most people will be very, very upset listening to me. But my anger has no limit because we have let ourselves down. Our children are dying every blessed day. Please go ahead.
Yeah, when you look at the issue of Nigerian police, we have to look at where the problem started. The problem is corruption. You know, like Barrister Emeka said, Nigeria cannot sentence anyone to death where there's so many corruption involved in that system. So how do you know when you're killing someone, you're killing them for the right reasons or the wrong reasons? And when you're looking at the corruption, the main problem is that these police officers are not being paid well. If the Nigerian system are paying them well, I think that would limit a little bit of the corruption involved around the whole thing. And I'm thinking that by bringing Biafra together, we don't have to write everything down, because the Nigerian police system, everything is written down on a piece of paper. It's like a book. Mm-hmm. You know, we need something more computerized, like a computer system. You can go back and backdate and be able to find out information. So I think stuff like that will limit corruption. But when you write everything down on a piece of paper, the papers can easily be tear off, and you can never recover that piece of paper. So that's my own contribution.
The difficulty I continue to have in relation to what we are doing as a people about all these atrocities is this. Why are we quiet about it? Why can't we, if we had compelled the likes of Peter Obi to issue an autopsy report, maybe this nonsense won't be happening. Maybe these killings could have been averted, who knows, in Abia State. But because Peter Obi got away with it, anybody feels they can get away with it. Why did such an atrocity happen in Zoo River? And people did not rise up. They left it to Radio Biafra to be championing this very cause. To ask Peter Obi to release the autopsy report. We are not saying he killed them. If he claims it or he didn't kill them, okay, well and good. Why don't you want to release the autopsy report? And now we have these things happening in, first in Imo State, at Mburichi, now in Abia. Skulls being dug up, people being killed. Extrajudicial or whatever they call it. And we are in a place claiming we are a people. The only thing that ties you to being an Igbo person or that makes you relevant to your people is your name that you're answering. In terms of us rising as a people to defend our collective interest, to defend our life as a people, we have not been able to do it. Is anybody going to raise an alarm anywhere in the world to say, oh, Igbos are being killed, let's do something about it? The answer is no. People carry on and pretend as if everything is okay. they carry on and pretend as if life is somehow meaningless. Why isn't the same problem happening in Yoruba land? Why? That's my question. Why did we not have a similar incident like Ezu River in Yoruba land? On Hausa land for that matter. Why is my question. Why is it happening to us all the time? Why is it happening? That is the question I want our people to reflect on soberly and ask yourself wherever you are this very afternoon stroke evening in San Francisco where we're broadcasting from. What have you done to protect people, to stop them from dying? When you go to look for work and they say they will give you, so it's racism. They treat us equally. They are treating us the way we treat ourselves, the way we abandon people back home who are less privileged. That is why they treat us like vermin, they treat us like animals. We have lost every right to complain because what we are doing is not good, both before man and before God. Let's take this call. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you're calling from, please. Your name and where you are. Hello? The caller on Skype, can you hear me? The caller on Skype, can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
I cannot hear you. Can I only hear through the radio?
Why can't you hear me Hello? Through Skype? You are on Skype, you can hear me through Skype. Why Hello? Can you say you can't hear me? No. Please try and call us back. Please, Barrister Madowos, I'm addressing this question to you. Given your position and your high level of interaction with our people, when you speak to Ndiwo, be it here or elsewhere in the world, do you get the feeling that you're talking to human beings who understand where they come from and willing to work to defend the honor, integrity, and glory of their people? Or are you speaking to a people that are completely lost? Because I don't get it. But before you answer, let's take this call. This is Radio Biafra. Can you hear me? The caller on the phone, can you hear me? This is Radio Biafra. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Please give us your name and where you are, please. Your name and where you are, please.
My name is Chinedu. I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
From Washington, D.C. One, please go ahead. The world is listening.
Mazin Namdi, Anima, Ekemegina, Ononaro, together with Mazin Mekana, all the fighters. Kono Hana, Choi with the Biafra, Anima, Chineke, Baonome. With regards to Nyene Ku about extrajudicial killing, I will say that Nahine Maisia in Aka. If our leaders, the custodians of the tradition, will keep quiet, what do you think? So, I'm Ndibo. The way we are raised up to look up to our elders, up to our parents. So, when we have these elders and they're not saying anything, you don't expect kids to come out and start agitating for all those things. Even if you're not what I need to get to do, I hear Brunner, so, I can't really blame the youth. I blame our leaders, our governors, the Igwes, Ndeze, all these chiefs, all these people, they're up to Nalibo, and they're keeping quiet, all these things, and then all the very, very sad. Those are the ones that we have to hold accountable. For any unable, I don't know about the unmet alone in them. I know alone, I know where we tune in when we can, and hopefully, eventually, I can support them, by speaking out because you see, can them.
Thank you very much, my brother. Thank you very, very much. Yes, Yes, but please, can you go on? A lot has been said about our people. A lot is still being said. I don't get the sense of urgency. I don't get the sense of apathy, the sense of foreboding, a sense of urgency in terms of our approach to our problems as a people. I don't know if we know that people are dying. Do we know the meaning of death? I'm going here mad. Do we understand what it means, or that we have seen so much dead bodies that we've become used to it?
Yeah, that is the point I wanted to make. We've been so shocked that nothing shocks us anymore. Nothing. You are driving down the road and you see a dead body. It's normal. You know, people are being lynched without finding out if they are guilty or not. People are being killed without any inquiry into whether they are guilty or not. So we don't have any respect for human life. And that is why at times when I speak with people who are involved in any form of struggle, you see some who are afraid of death. And then you see people being killed over nothing. You know, why should we die over nothing if you can die over something?
Exactly. That's my question.
So if you can die over something, it's not, somebody once told me that you are out there in San Francisco Bay Area, you work in Mountain View, you've been part of Silicon Valley for a long time, and then you are asking us to support Biafra. Why not come back home? And I said, look, the first thing is that at my level now, I can come back home, but I will not be employed. If you are a fighter pilot and war is not going on anywhere, you don't have a military. So what happens?
Mm-hmm.
So people are being killed every day. But one thing is clear. The command structure of Nigeria is such that I personally find it difficult to hold our governors accountable because of the nature of the political structure of Nigeria, the centralization of control of power.
But it happened in Egypt. It happened in Egypt. I'm not asking us to go to Abuja to hold them accountable or to go to Lagos. We can hold P2B accountable. Are you telling me that we have lost all manner of conscience? That P2B, who is the chief security officer in Anambra State, under his watch, and now go put them mad in the EU.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to go mad if I think I want to go mental.
Look at what is happening. Look at what is happening in Rivers State, with the police commissioner saying something and the governor saying a different thing, and each threatening the other that, look, if you come out in the street to demonstrate, I will shoot you.
Who is saying that?
The police commissioner
in Port Harcourt.
And Governor Amechi said, I'm coming out with my people to protest the insecurity. Shoot me. So the governor is supposed to be the head of the security. The governor should give instructions to the commissioner over security in the state. But the commissioner is under the chain of command. The commissioner is answerable to who? The IG. The IG is in Abuja. And the IG is answerable to the president. So it took the intervention of the president to stop them from dancing naked in the market.
Incredible.
Because I'm sure that Governor Emeshi is an Igbo person. So forget all this nonsense. He would have taken his people to the street. And the commissioner is also Igbo. I think he's Yemba. And he would have shot him.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So would Mba have said the same thing to Hausa governor?
Governor, exactly.
Do you think this Mba, exactly, this idiot in Cross River, can he say the same thing to Hausa governor? Yeah. The answer is no, they can't say it. Oh, and they're now eating up on all law. They say their own kind, they become very, very strong. Let's take this call. This is Radio Biafra, please. You've been very patient on the line. Give us your name and where you are, please. Your name and where you are.
It's still me. I got the.
Yes.
So yeah, that's the point I wanted to raise, because in Nigeria, the people that are being slaughtered back home most times are poor people, very, very poor people. I had some some people like that from close to my place, and I looked at the family. These are the lowest class of families in the land. Two boys from that family were killed. They didn't have a voice. They can't even afford a 3 square meals. They don't have a father. They don't have a mother. They only have a brother who stays somewhere in Abuja. So, you know, when this happened to folks like that, so that's why I still say that we have to hold our chiefs, elders, our governors accountable for all these killings that is happening.
My brother, can I ask you a question? How,
yes.
H-O-W, how do you hold them to account? Holding to account is a theoretical postulate in terms of practical demonstration, in terms of practical expression of this holding to account. How do you do it? How?
Well, yeah, we can get to the streets. We can do a march. We can raise our voice so that they hear. We can talk to Nigerian police. We have people already. Ikereba to be our spokesperson, our mouthpiece. Now we are the mouthpiece of Biafra. If you want to say something about Biafra, we talk to you. You shout. You start talking. We should talk to our governor. Even I hope people be sincere. Has he said anything? He should come out and say something. This is what I need. You know, all these governors I want to eat. If one of them has stood up, challenged the Inspector General of Police as a governor of one eastern state with such an incident, I don't think that these things will continue, because all of them keep quiet. They're comfortable. They're enjoying. Then these things will be happening. These things are happening in Yoruba. No Yoruba governor will take it. No Yoruba Oba or no common Yoruba chief will take it. I'm telling you, it's just, I don't know, you know, it's a fact. We have to find a way to drum it into the ears of our leaders back in Igbo land, our elders, so they can speak up. We are there now, agitating for Biafra. Maji Emeka is there agitating for Biafra. Other young people are agitating for Biafra. The older people that should be agitating for Biafra, when they witness what we suffered firsthand, they're comfortable. And you know, we're here moving from one country to the other, talking about Biafra. Is it good? That is wrong, or the very wrong. They should be shouting, and then I are backing up with whatever force they want. If they want it for a war, we give it. We go to war. I chose war, but I ain't. But when they go in, I ain't. People looking at us will be like, are these people crazy? What are they saying? You can even do a panel. It's sad, my brother. It's sad. I'm like and the rest of the fighters that are taking for this. Because if you take the process, we should be coming from behind. Instead, I'm always in the name. It will be an issue. It's terrible.
It is terrible. And thank you very much. It is terrible. It is very, very sad. And we are trying to correct it. We are trying to make it better. Let us gain the perspectives of our dear sister to see what she has to offer.
In this case, I think one thing is first. To get Biafra is the most important thing to solve the problem. We cannot hold anybody accountable under another government. Therefore, Biafra is the final. If we get it, then we can map out our own laws and we let everybody, whether citizen, every citizen, whether from the president to the small man, what their rights are and what they can do. So therefore, that's why we're encouraging everybody to join in this fight, join in this crusade, join in this agitation to be able to get Biafra and be free from all those politicians, or from all those killings, from every atrocities that we think should not happen. Therefore, we should. That's when the only time we can hold anybody accountable. When we get Biafra, and you have the authority to do that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please. Your name and where you are.
Hi, my name is Joseph Obiora. I'm calling from Sweden.
Joseph Obiora from Sweden. Go ahead.
This discussion of Nigeria corruption and so on and so forth. Nigeria as a whole doesn't have any law. The law we have in Nigeria is depends on how rich you are and how poor you are. I have experienced so many kind of experience in Nigeria, the way police work, the way the law treated people, the way a lot of shit. So, but my suggestion is, if we Biafra can support to have our own transmission, this transmitter that we are trying to get in Biafra, in this kind of case, this killing of Izuliva, something like that, we can inform people. We can. It cannot be just by us going to get Biafra before we can fight. Start fighting what belongs to us. If people can contribute, make sure that this transmitter and so on is mounted in Biafra land. We can from there. We can tell villagers, people living there, this is what is happening, because in most cases they don't understand, they don't even hear it at all. You know?
Yes. Yes.
Hello?
Yes, of course, yes, we understand what you're saying. What you're saying is correct. What you're saying is abundantly correct. And the transmitter is important. We are trying to source it, and as soon as possible, we should be able to get that going. Thank you very much for calling, and God bless you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Let us go and take this call before we go to Amajoy. Give us your name. This is Radio Biafra. Please, your name and where you're calling from. Please, your name and where you are.
Hello.
Yes. Go ahead. The caller on the phone. We have... give us your name and where you're calling from. This is Radio Biafra.
Yeah, hello, Nando.
Yes, Samson, go ahead. We can get you. Your name is showing here. Please go ahead. We are taking your call.
All right.
Please make your point.
Thank you. Earlier on, I called during the first broadcast, and the line couldn't go.
Yes.
First of all, I've been following your progress from Atlanta up to where you are right now. And there's something I did before you land for United States. The objective was to awaken our brothers who are in the States to understand that this thing is real. But, I've been telling some of our brothers, I've been calling actually
Hello?
But all the same, I'm at them to narrow it down. Hello?
Yes, go ahead. We're listening. Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Okay. It's better to narrow it down so that we can I need to go back dissemination of information back home.
Yes.
It was, and behind our person who have that Paco one on the Baraka is here, and can transmit any book very good. No, the buyer with a man is because back home, from what I'm seeing and the reaction, go not hard to them, I know, but it's you because I don't need to go back to my hair. You got the Bawana, I got, you know, I focus on our strength towards mobilizing our brothers from the U.S. and other parts of the world. Carbon transmitter is provided. All the cover group here in Asia, the mother in the group, together, and the more game, the most secure that we have better. Only a good way, only a trouble car is pressing. All that, all the so we have to go back to the days of our forefather. Distraction. So organize the 10-man committee and the 10-man committee people. What can do also? Then we have Frankita. 600 naira. on air, motors, and motor engine. Up on a health with your motor, you have 1,000 apartment for buyer. How can you miss your net? And you have bullet door for you to go through the Afra. And I woke up there, down for every day. But all that I'm going to be in the book for that same other car, a back of the boy, and the TV, and I. My boss, such a baggage. The phone or some do carry a coloma of one mother that was the other also. So carry around the wall, and you do, or I am at the Marie, and they want to marry and look, and they won't own any of the Kalia. I need focus on the idea. I won't move your Nigeria, if you are a drabble. I now can be kept away. Meeting with Randy, Bobas, who's here, what are the camera speaker? And then after all, we just cast the animal. Of Mamma Lilian for tradition. Madame Wolf, you know, when I get to Palace, you will find Huba. Of who was that by a little contribution. And Alama, no matter, oh no, no, I'm not. Oh, of course, we're not born, my dear, to come in. Oh, we're not born.
Hello? Oh, Mother was Yonian and Abia.
South Africa, Papa, Malaysia, the place where I host to meet you. I promise you that. I'm going to go to Nigeria and Bernard de Ghana maybe the next 2 weeks.
Give us your name and where you are. This is Radio Biafra, your name and where you are, please. The caller on Skype.
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Give us your name and where you are, please. Your name and where you are.
Yeah, my name is Nicholas. I'm calling from New Delhi, India.
You're calling from New Delhi in India. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Hello.
This Skype is giving us problems. Can you hear me?
Hello.
No, we cannot hear each other. Our Skype is exceptionally problematic. Please call us on the phone, please. Chidera, can I please have the telephone number again for them to call, please?
The number is +1 404 789 8796.
Again, please.
+1 404 789 8796.
Thank you very much. Please, that is the number to call should you wish to join us. Yes, Amaji, what would you like to say?
Yeah, referring to what our brother said, that the Okne Mahanonulu witness the Biafran war, they are not coming out a lot. One of the reasons is that they're like in the Kumaka transmitter, so they are not really getting this information. So yes. I think the key to the whole thing is to be able to relay that information back to them. So if they can be able to receive what we are doing back in Biafran land on their FM radios, I think more older people can be able to come out.
Yeah, they will come up, but the thing is that the problem remains that some people, a sizable number of people in the United States, if they give us a transmitter, we'll go and carry it and go and put it at home. There is nobody that is going to give us a transmitter for free. We need to buy it. If those of you in America can say, go to San Francisco somewhere and pick a transmitter, we'll pick it and we go. But we need to buy it. How are we going to buy a transmitter? Is it to start praying to God and fasting so that God can throw down a transmitter from heaven? How are we going to get it? There is information deficiency. The reason why our people are dying back home, believe you me, is because Radio Biafra is not being received in every family every evening. If they hear Radio Biafra, if you transmit live pictures of what is happening to our people into every home, you have a revolution within 6 months. All this nonsense will stop. Why are we keeping quiet, knowing fully well what needs to be done? Why are we not doing it? If we have 2, 3, 4, 5 people, why can't they go inside the house and say, okay, we'll go and buy a transmitter from somewhere? Buy and give us. We don't need your money. Megan, we need transmitter. That's all. So we can take this message to our people. Yoruba has AIT.
Hazard put the control NTA. They have hazard service from BBC every night. They have even VOA. You are in America paying your tax in America. American government is providing free Hausa language service to Hausa people all over the West Africa. I don't like this type of penny wise pound foolish that our people do. In a sense, we have become stupid. Out, we think we are clever, but we don't know anything. If we know something, they cannot be killing our people back home and our bank. It could be you, it could be me, it could be anybody. I see all of our people, and that would be it. It's very, very shameful. Very, very shameful. Very shameful, please. My dear sister, go ahead.
It's just one thing after another when it comes to our struggle in this world, especially when most of our able-bodied men and women has left Nigeria to every part of the world. Now you're saying some people are in one remote area that nobody have ever heard of, you know. So what we are going to do is just to continue pleading with everybody to contribute so that we get this transmitter. We need it, and we need it. It's a matter of urgency, so that we will relate the whole thing, because anybody who doesn't hear, you won't blame them for not participating. So we have to make an awareness to everybody that is in this world, in Nigeria, or anywhere in Biafra land.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, like the man was saying, it still goes back to what we're saying, unity, we need to unite. If the American people can come out, this transmitter, we can have it in a few days. You know, so we're still trying to get everyone to come out, people in California, people in the U.S. as a whole. You know, it's a lot of other things we do. We spend money on just like that. So if we can come out and support Radio Biafra, this transmitter, we can be able to achieve it in no time. And people back home can be able to know what we're talking about. But everyone need to come out and unite to move this movement forward.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Let us try and see if we can take this call. This is Radio Biafra. Please give us your name and where you are, please. Can you hear me, Nicole, on Skype? Do we have a caller on Skype? Do we? No. Please, Barrister. You may go ahead, please. It's getting very, very serious. A lot of people are getting agitated. A lot of people are getting very, very upset. There is no need wishing for something. You see, what I'm going to ask you is Nigeria ever going to change? In your opinion, is Nigeria ever going to get better from where we are today?
You see, I am asking na fun siegu na. Tupu arigo kubienu. You know, you don't just start climbing a tree to look for the ego when there are no escalators
on the ground. Yes, that's the evidence.
You know, that's the evidence that something is up there.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you see intellectuals from your own nation being wasted, and then you see your own nation not moving forward,
yes,
something is fundamentally wrong. You know, I work with, I'm part of the information technology world, which is the revolution of this time. So I know who is who. I know Nigerians who are doing wonderfully well in this industry. And then you were talking of computerized business systems at government level. Google has Google for Government, which is a complete suite of what you can use to run a government. It's being used by most government agencies in the United States. It's not even expensive. You know how Google does their things. Then you have individuals who are able to write simple scripts that you can use to run your business.
Mm-hmm.
So computerization of business is no longer a big deal now.
Mm-hmm. It's
but
not
still, because computerization eliminates 90% of corruption because mm-hmm. of the electronic DNA, you know, the trail.
Yes, it can be easily traced.
Mm-hmm. So every time in Nigeria we hear of, we have discovered 4,000 ghost workers. We had ghost workers. We are there also. How were they spending the money that they were being paid? Were the ghosts spending the money? Somebody was spending that money on behalf of the ghost. So who was that person?
Let us see. You know? Let us ask them and see who the ghost is.
Who is the ghost? You know? So now, I was home at last Christmas. We stayed in the hotel and then we had wanted to leave early to visit somebody the next day. When we came downstairs, somebody blocked our car because we came in early. So somebody parked behind us in the hotel. And they were looking for the person. And so they brought out, there were computer screens in front of the reception. So they brought out paper and they were flipping the paper looking for the person. And I said, what of the computers? Can't you look at your system and see look at the number of the person?
They said that
they don't use it. So these things are all decorations, you know. So you still write all these things down on paper. Now you have kept me here for 15 minutes and I have somewhere to rush to. Look at my family, we are just here. We need to be somewhere in the next 15 minutes and you are keeping us here, you know. So they will send somebody upstairs to go and knock on somebody's door and then the person will say, no, it's not my car. Are you the owner of this number? They say, no, it's not my car. So we were there for 1 hour before the person who owned the car came down by himself. And then they asked him, are you the owner of that car? He said, yes. And then they said, you blocked somebody. He said, that he's sorry. And I was already angry. I said that when this person comes down, I will. If I don't get him today, then I'm not the son of mother. So he came down. And I said nobody told him anything, and that he's sorry. So he went. He gently moved away, drove his car, and went away. You know. So now this is a brand new hotel, and you can't even. So you see, it is in advanced countries. In very advanced countries, it is the private sector that moves, that innovates.
Mm-hmm.
But in developing countries, because the government has more money to spend,
mm-hmm.
it is the government that innovates. So if you are part of the government in a developing nation, you should know that innovation lies with you, not the private sector. But in the developed world, innovation lies with the destiny, subsidized heavily by the government.
Yes, of course. Yes.
So if you know the amount of money the U.S. government spends on national health, national health.
They call it NHS in
NHS. NHS, yeah, something like that.
National Health Service.
Not the health service, the research center.
Yeah, yeah, which is research and development. Yeah. Yes, of course. Yes.
If you know the amount of money they spend
in, it's called biotechnology.
Yeah, all they dump money there for research. You know, they spend all this money.
They give grants to professors
and they have all these patents. I work with the best brains in when it comes to the patenting of innovations. You know, so you have people shunning out new things that will be used maybe in the next 4 or 5 years. Yeah. Some of the things we are using now, we are innovations of that we have done like 4, 5, 10 years, between 5 to 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When you pick up your iPhone or this thing and the top screen, the soft touch and all those things. These things we have done like 10 years ago.
They've had it
in
the freezer. They release it one after the other.
They
take our money. Let us take this call and then we'll come back to you. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please. The caller on the phone, we've lost him. We've lost him. Of course, I wasn't even properly connected. How are we going to solve this problem? Anyi Nwensubu on our hands. We have a problem on our hands. How are we going to solve it? That is what we want to know.
What I think that the state government, which is it's a tall order as far as I'm concerned, because of the centralized nature of our government,
mm-hmm.
you know. The state government should take hold of their states and move the states forward.
But whereby they fail to do that and are killing us instead, what do we
exactly.
do?
That's again, the point. And if we believe at this point that there is no hope, as long as there is that centralization there, the centralization of power in the hands of one man, because it's the power lies in the hands of the president of Nigeria at any point in time. It's like the way we are sitting down here. He's the person who has the yam and the knife. They sit down every week to decide who gets which contract. You know, when I started interacting with some ministers, past ministers, who served under the Nigerian government, I had wanted to find out what they do when they attend such meetings, whether it is policy, you know, you have policy meetings, and then before you decide to, because policy comes first before implementation, and then he said, no, they don't discuss, such things. They just award contracts, so no policy discussion. It's just to the government. The president gives contracts according to each according to
to their
his relationship. His relationship with him, you know. So that is a huge problem, you know. So if, since some of us believe that there is no salvation along that road, we have to educate our people. That is my point. Why I said I will be part of this is to make sure that people are not deceived.
Yes.
Because I am not for anything that is not done with candor. You know, when I do things, my dad is still alive. I don't know how he will feel if he hears that his son, the third son, is involved in something fraudulent that concerns Ndibo. So you have to understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
So if we need to educate our people so that they will make the right choice. You know, if you give people, because information is power, knowledge is power. You know, that's the right thing. Not information,
knowledge is power. Yes.
So, but we have to give people enough information so that they'll have that knowledge.
Yes.
So that they will now say, okay, this is my choice at this point.
How are we going? That what person is that we need
the next thing is transmitter. We need to reach the nooks and crannies of our people. What we have now is serving a much more advanced purpose. When you go to the grassroots, it becomes more difficult because it's not every grassroots person that has internet access.
That is correct.
You know, but if you are interested, you can buy radio. Made in China radio is all over the place.
Yes.
Most generic phone now come with radio, FM, AM, FM radio. So
yes,
when you have your phone, you have a radio.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a phone all over the place. You know. So we need to have the ability to reach our people at grassroots. That is why we need a transmitter. That's something that needs to be done.
Why are Americans finding it difficult to come together? We don't want money. We must make this very clear. Maybe we can give it to you as a responsibility. We need a transmitter. We don't need anybody to give us money. We need Americans to do it, whatever. Get us a transmitter so we can spread the message back home. Allow us, because we need a generator which we can buy in Europe. We need fuel to be fueling it every day and to pay the workers. Those in Europe and back home can do that. What are the Americans doing to help? To help get the vital knowledge, as you said, needed to where it is needed. The Hausas are more intelligent than us because they have access to 24-hour news coverage every blessed day. Even NTA is presented from their own perspective. Yorubas, they have, it is countless. Media is theirs. That's why they can tell us that we are not united and we agree. They tell you that...
No, we don't go to school.
We don't go to school, we agree. They say they're more educated than us, we agree. They said they took even the Nobel Prize meant for Achebe and gave it to Soyinka, and we accepted it. anybody coming up and saying, they'll say, oh, if Achebe is a more prolific writer than Chenka, how come Chenka got the Nobel Prize then and not Achebe? Because we lacked media, we lacked, in fact, let me put it this way, the only reason why Igbos are scattered all over the place without any sense of direction is because there is no media, to be honest with you. That is the only thing missing, the only binding missing ingredient is lack of information. Why can't Americans come together at least do something? See, this is what we are doing for them, and get us a transmitter. We don't need anybody's money, please. We must make it very clear. Radio Biafra is not about funding and appealing for funding. No, we must unyany a transmitter, because I see unyany a satellite TV. We may be here till the kingdom come. We must unyany a radio transmitter. That's what we're asking for. I don't know if I'm correct, my sister.
Yeah, you are correct.
Yes,
what we are doing here in America is to continue getting the awareness. Awareness is very, very important. Just like when you came to Atlanta,
yes,
the awareness has started, even though some people are what we call Ndibun Slan, Open Day to Madhui.
Yes.
So the awareness will go, that's what we are doing. To get people aware, you don't know how many people myself I have called, and you don't know the response I have even getting myself. You know,
we want to hear the response you're getting.
Of the responsibility said, somebody told me, don't bring that here Biafra to my door because I'm going to kick you out with them.
Are you serious?
Yes, some of them will say, don't even go there, Biafra. They are not going to get it. Because how are they going to get it? Are they going to kill Nigeria before they get it? You know, some of them don't even want to go there, don't even want to hear.
See, I would like to say something. You know, it's I'm not a prophet, but when I take steps on anything, I know that there is something has pushed me to that side, and it's been happening. You know, all my life. We are scattered all over the world, all over the globe. We are the most scattered of every ethnic group.
Are you sure?
And there is no.
We are everywhere.
There is no other ethnic group on earth that covers more
landmass
than us. You know, and we had the Arab people.
Mm-hmm.
Who had that same privilege during the time of slave trade, and they made good use of it. Now we are scattered all over the place. What are we going to make? How are we going to make use of our geographical spread as Ndigbo? Somebody is there in Alaska. Another person is there in Kandustan, and all the stands you can think
of. Yes. Uzbekistan.
You know, all the stands, you have an Igbo person there. You go to Japan, you go to China, you go to everywhere. Not just an insignificant Igbo person, but somebody who is very either middle class or close to the middle class. He's not just there, but he's there gainfully employed, fully employed. How are we going to make it is, this is logistics that is more powerful than UPS, is more powerful than DHL.
Yes. Yes.
So let us think of the arrow and think of how we can do something using our geographical spread and our numerical strength. We are too many, but people think that we are a few.
Mm-hmm.
We are spread all over the earth, and there is a reason why God spread us all over the earth. You know, now you cannot exterminate the Igbos, can you?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have to move to every nation on earth to kill Igbo people. You have to go from one nation, just yes. Like when the British came, they had to move from one village to another.
Yes.
To in subdue us.
Yes.
There was no head. There was nobody to bribe or to coerce into signing any agreement. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they had to move from one of this to one of that. From one village to another. So now we are spread all over. And what we are saying is we need to make sure that we reach ourselves at the click of the mouse. at the turn on of the transmitter, we need to be able to talk to each other when we click the mouse.
Yes.
When we turn on our transmitter, so that we will be on the same page all over the world.
Yes.
At any point in time.
Absolutely.
It is important.
So communication is key.
Yes.
We believe. Let us try and take this call and see what they make of it. Please, the call.
Hello?
Yes, give us your name and where you are. Please, your name and where you are.
Yeah, my name is Joseph Ichechukwu. I'm calling from Warri.
You're calling from Warri?
Yeah. Yes, sir. I'm from Nigeria.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, with regards to the subjudicial killing, I read it on phone this early morning in Nigeria yesterday.
Yes.
The issue that we people fail to understand is which police, Nigerian police, that is bearing Igbo name is not significant here. Because I overheard him and say that he's angry. He's like, I'm ashamed of being an Igbo. No, I made a mistake for not thanking all of them, thanking England in particular, for moving around the whole globe, trying to talk to Igbo people, trying to talk to Biafran. And I believe my reason is because I'm a Biafran. Most of us believe in it, in our heart. I'm a Biafran to the core. It's not my mother told me, not my father told me, but I grew up to know. To know that I'm a Jaffa. So the argument they were arguing on paper, is it evil or this? The British, Nigerian police. They didn't mention other names of the police people. They mentioned the evil person. It's a Nigerian police. So what we are talking, we are not, shouldn't be discussing. It is because we are sitting in Nigeria. We need to get Jaffa. That is all we need. Let certain things happen in Nigeria. People ask why. The answer is that because they are in Nigeria. Nigeria is a mistake. We have said it all, we are giving all the reasons why Nigeria is a mistake. So please, I don't want people, when you are radio Biafra, like England saying, it's like, I don't want to be a Biafra, an Igbo person. I don't be crazy. Because if you use Igbo for Igbo land for us, we take over and we continue the struggle. We are proud of it. In that time on the paper, so what we know about, we are selling human beings, a full-fledged human being for 40,000 naira. And they dismember it and sell the parts. You will have to see a Yoruba say he regrets his disappointment in the Yoruba. That time they will tell you, evil is everywhere, a crime is everywhere in the country. So please, I try to tell our people, the problem we have is that because we are in Nigeria. And the other time, he made mention of one of the podcasts I was listening to, where Mr. Andukwe was commenting, where he said, if we have the transmitter, in 6 months, he said, Nigeria will no more exist. The man was trying to say, we are not working for Nigeria not to exist. We need Biafra. Nigeria can exist for whatever they like. Fine and good, but when we were in court, I was in the court last court, I was Biafra yet. Of April, I was there with my father the other time. So after the court session, the attorney and the barrister, they addressed us and they told us that it's not today or tomorrow that we are going to get Biafra, but let us condition our mind. But I hear men say often, if we get to the transmitter in 6 months, yes, people will get to be aware because so many people are not aware. I saw about the root evil community. I called the number there. The man, he doesn't even know anything. Moreover, he doesn't want to associate with Biafra because of Masop. But when I told him it's no more Masop, he became more interested. I told him on the court, he said, I'm not aware. Yeah, I quite agree. People are not aware. We need the transmitter. But we should go alongside the briefing we had. It's a gradual process. We are going to be there. Because if you say it's 6 months, and in 6 months, you have the transmitter, you didn't get it. People will say, hey, how long? Like some people, for how long shall we continue to talk about this Biafra? Why can't we? It's something we cannot forget. It's something that is in our blood. So I thank you people for all your efforts, your contributions. They mean it. I owe them a lot. I appreciate what they are doing. So please, don't lose the heat.
we will get Biafra. That, there is no question about it. By God's grace, we are going to be here. I pray God bless England and the homes in America, like in East Kingdom of Italy, Hamburg or whatever. I know they will come to track. They will pick up the race. I know that. I have no doubt about it. So I wish all of you God blessings, and I pray that God will continue to guard Biafra. In the meeting, when we finish, they say, Aka Biafra. Then we will come to Biafra land and clap our hands in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for that. Thank you very, very much for that. I think we have another caller on the line. Let's take it. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please. This is Radio Biafra.
Yeah, this is Uchenna calling from Canada.
Uchenna from Canada. Please go ahead. Go ahead.
Something just came to my mind as a fallout from the initial discussion on the, you know, genocide that is going on in Igbo land or in Biafra land, and even as perpetrated or encouraged by our so-called political leaders, as mentioned, Peter Obi, for instance. I think that we may have contributed to giving these people, the chance to do what they are doing, because I happen to know that during the Ezu River issue, when the crisis broke out, the argument and counter-arguments and the dissemination of that very atrocity on the internet in Nigeria, it is something that has permeated the internet and I believe carried by BBC and other, you know, international broadcasting or media houses. Now, need we have stopped there? I think no. We should have taken up this matter, challenged the very people who are supposed to, you know, bring it to where we want it to be. I want to believe that some of these politicians, so to say, they do what they do because they believe that maybe we are complacent. We are not, we don't care about whatever happens. They can do whatever they like. They have the power to do anything they like, or that they won't have the support of the Igbo people. And I believe that right now, with the caliber of people that have taken this Biafra struggle, that has taken into the Biafra struggle as it is right now, we can still do more by reopening the Ezu River case. And my idea is simply that we know that the Anambra State government did come up with the autopsy reports of, on the Ezu River victims. And we know the identities of some of the victims and even the perpetrators of that very genocidal act. What we can do is through Radio Biafra, through our activities in Benin and other places, we can equally either send a high-powered delegation or a communique to Peter Obi, letting him know that the Biafran people right now, before he leaves office, are demanding that the outcome of the autopsy report be made public. We are demanding that he should use his good or bad offices to tell us why Igbo people should die the way should be killed the way they are being killed, and nobody cares to listen. Why, for instance, are Igbo people easily wasted on the streets of Onitsha and nothing happens? The same thing is happening everywhere. I believe that if we begin to take on our politicians, they will understand that although they may not have our votes to power, we have to hold them to account for not acting when they are supposed to act. Because tomorrow Peter Obi will cease to be the governor of Anambra State, and I know for sure that he's not going to be in Nigeria. He will come back to the United States. And when we say Biafra, maybe he will be one of the people you know, also pretending to support this very cause. So I'm saying that we have to equally begin to tackle our political class the best way we think we can, without violence, but making sure that they don't get away with their complicity in the killing of our people.
Yes, thank you very, very much for that. Thank you. We accept everything you have said. I don't think there's anything more to add to what is said. I don't know if anyone has any. Yeah, everyone looks very somber and very moody and upset.
Even a woman or whatever. People are very, very upset here.
Why I'm very, very adamant on education is because we need to know how stuff works. You know, you see that when the dog is moving smoothly on top of the lake. That dog moving smoothly is
paddling on the
paddling furiously.
Let's take this call. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please. The caller on the phone, your name and where you are, please.
Yes, Nnamdi, this is Martin Sanisim.
Yes. Are you calling to check if your wife is okay? She's fine.
She's fine.
Thank you very much.
Yes, I wanted to say something about this incident in Aba, the 20 schools and composing bodies, including those of school children.
So, sorry.
Something is, you know.
Did you say school children?
Yes, yes. In the article said that there were among the 20 bodies were school children also. The bodies of school children were involved, and the is saying even the 26-year-old man that was killed for the purpose by the police. The Nigerian police committing atrocities to people and dumping their body in pits in a bath. So this is a very serious problem for our people. I detest this killing of our people and disposing bodies in shameful ways and in unimaginable ways, such as dumping in the river, such as dumping in the borough pit. Not even this way where these things are happening. You know, any individual, anybody who calls himself a Biafran should stand up. Something is wrong. I don't know how many years we'll sit saying that for somehow we are going to come out of this without putting efforts. This is shameful, the picture we have put ourselves in, and we are not even trying to do anything to defend ourselves. From the president of Nigeria. So all these judicial killings must come from the presidency itself. I'm not just talking about this current administration, because this thing has been going on for years and years and years. Now that it is the presidency of Nigeria, from the
of the Martin, now, Martin, you may have command- to call us back. Your line is not very clear. We want to hear what you have to say. Please call us back. Please try to call us back. Please, your line is not very clear. I don't know what's wrong with it. It's from the U.S. As well. This is here in America. I don't know why the number is not very clear. Maybe the phone is complaining. It needs rest as well, as some of us do. If you're joining us, then this is Radio Biafra. We're coming to you today from the residence of our dear brother, Barrister Emeka Adewosi. We also have Chukwune Dumamajoye here and Mrs. Anusiem Akwa Iwonyangwa Nwanyoma.
Yeah, I'm a Mnangwa, but I love Mnangwa.
Thank you very much.
So it was on your. Thank you very much. That's it. Oh, you're a man, you come from where your husband comes
yes,
from.
Yes,
thank you.
It's very funny. She said, "Now I'm only
there." I said, "I was here, but that's where she was born."
I like that. Yeah, yeah.
I love our culture. So much. It is beautiful. Can you hear me? This
hello.
Is, yes. Can you hear me? This is Radio Biafra. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
No, your line.
This is one of the calling
from.
From
hello, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Malaysia.
Please turn your radio down if you're calling from Malaysia. When you hear Jinega, you turn it off so we can hear ourselves.
I can hear you.
Go ahead then. Go ahead.
I want to make some suggestion in this area of atrocities in Igbo lands. Since the government has failed everybody in five Igbo states, I think Radio Biafra can start now calling the name of every agency in Igbo land one by one on radio. Asking them, are they still in their office, or this is happening in Igbo land? As they are calling their names, that is out of 800 of the Ramos community. 20 can rise up and defend the land. Since the governor cannot help, but the ministers, then the traditional rulers, we call their name on the radio Biafra. Some 10 of them are 20 can rise up and say this enough is enough. Because we the children cannot stand up where there's errors in the land. That's my contribution.
Thank you very much. We will take that on board. Thank you very much. We have almost nearly come to the end of the program for today. It's been a pleasure having everybody, but I'll go around the table and take people's comments and observations and how they think we are going to get this transmitter. At Radio Biafra, we don't like theory. We like a lot of practice, practical things, things that are workable, things we can do and let it work. What we don't want to do, we know what to do anyway ourselves. We know we can go to, we can write letters to everybody, to House of Assembly members. We can even take Peter Obi to court. Come on, everybody, ask an analogy with a man who no good to put a wire. We have to do the best we can to make sure that the message we are spreading gets to our people back home. When they know that they have brothers and sisters in Malaysia, when they know that in the Bay Area of San Francisco there are people thinking about them, when they know that South Africans are behind them, supporting them, when they know that Australians are behind them, when they know they have people in Italy, in Sweden, in Canada, in India, in Ukraine, in Austria, in Switzerland, all over the world, they will be forced to do something. They will sit up. What we have done in our own little way is to unite our people, to bring to the attention and awareness of our people the atrocities going on back home. If any governor, or even Nigeria for that matter, knows that if they commit any atrocity in Igbo land or in Biafra land, that that news will be carried the same day, 2, 3, 4 times to every Igbo person, every Idoma person, every Efiki, Bibio, Anang, Ebanke, people from Anioma, people from Ishekiri, Urobo, Ijo, the Ndokwa people, they will think twice before doing it. That is why the media serve to hold people to account. Radio Biafra is not Radio Nigeria. We are not interested in praise singing. Our host here is in America. We are in his house, but we castigate Americans here in his house in front of him and tell them how useless some of them have been, in as much as this struggle has been going on for very many years, because we expect America to be doing more and not less. Radio Biafra speaks the truth and will always speak the truth regardless of the circumstance. What is lacking in our struggle is our inability to deliver our message to our people back home where it really matters. If we deliver our message back home, it will have a multiplier effect. When they hear about Radio Biafra broadcasting from wherever in the world, they will call their people outside and say, "They, that in Okwali Henemen, we are receiving Radio Biafra broadcasting." For instance, if people back home in Innewu are receiving this broadcast this evening or this midnight there, or what time it is over there, tomorrow morning they will call you and say, "Oh, but we heard your voice. Why are you not looking? Oh, Emeka, we heard your voice on the radio. Oh, that he in a kupan. people will begin to talk to one another, to begin to discuss it. There is no way darkness can exist where there is light. If you are pursuing a rat in your house, even ordinary mosquito, once you turn on the light, they will go and hide. Even okay, will go and hide. But anytime you switch the switch off, you will begin to come out again. Evil comes out when there is darkness. Yeah. Our people are suffering because there is a darkness of information. People, I can bet my bottom dollar, these people that died, even the Nungwa, the same Nungwa, if you go to Osusioma, they will not know that people are dead somewhere in the border pit. Yes. If you come to Isialangwa, they will not know. Talk less of Mtenga, or talk less of Obakala, or Umuaya, in general. People will not know what is going on. And they continue to conceal. They kill us, they conceal. They kill. Where they lay on the paper, 80 bodies found, dead scores found. It's like no other news. At Radio Biafra, we explain to people the implications of the news they are receiving so they can make important and informed decisions about their lives. We are wasting and we need help. Please give us your closing remarks before we bring the program to an end, please.
Yeah, it's been an honor bringing you to my house. Those who are with us here via the internet, you are with us today in my house. And I'm in your house too, because I've been able to penetrate into your own house with my voice.
Yes.
What I will continue to reiterate that what we are doing is not an armed struggle. I am not a violent person. I am a lawyer by profession. I am a technology lawyer by choice because I love innovation. And I am a Biafran, not just because I am from Newi, but because I believe in the cause of justice. So I welcome all of you to tomorrow's broadcast, because I'm a very forward-looking person. This one is already out of the way. I'm looking forward to having you and having a healthy discussion with you on the way forward, especially how we will make sure that we penetrate every house, just as we've been able to penetrate your own house. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you very much. Please, and my dear sister.
First of all, I have to thank you personally, Mr. Namde, because it's not easy to leave everything, your family and everybody, to go from one country, one state to another to bring the awareness of Biafra to everybody. And we are going to continue working on the establishing Biafra. Continue making the great awareness and making sure that things we need will be provided, especially when it comes to transmitting. And we also thank everybody that is listening all over the world, because it is their time. Some people are sleeping, but they are awake, trying to, you know, make sure that they know, keep update of what is going on with Radio Biafra. Because that shows that this is this establishing Radio Biafra will be a thing of reality. I know that it has been something somehow frustrating, one time or not, but it will be achieved. And we thank those who called in today, especially those who called from Nigeria. It's not easy. Those who, like the man that called from Warre, that went to the court case with the father, that is a very, very noble thing to do. And they didn't fear about what Nigeria is going to do or what is going to happen to them. But we say let them continue appearing in the court so that, you know, those lawyers, the judges and everybody knows that we mean business.
Yes.
And, today, we are going to continue, like we say about P2B, if everything that we are appealing to him doesn't work, we have to take him to judiciary to get what we want from him. Yes, we've been screaming, we've been shouting, let him bring out the autopsy result. Mm. If he doesn't bring it on his own terms, then something needs to be done.
Exactly.
To be able to make sure that those people who died, we are not left, you know, they didn't die in vain, you know. So no matter how they were killed, wherever they are, they will know that people are fighting for them.
Yes.
So, and I thank you, and I thank everybody that is here, and I know, you know, at last, we are going to help and say, God bless Biafra.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Yes, Amajoye, please.
thank you, my brothers and sisters, for listening to us and joining us for the second edition. I'm Namdi. Thank you for coming to California. I know I will not be with you guys tomorrow. And it's an honor, a pleasure to be with you in Chidera and broadcast with you guys today. And one more thing I want to add is that Igbo people scattered all over the world looking for survival. Mm. They're running away from the Igbo land because there's nothing there for them. So I'm urging everyone to realize this. We need to go back and fix the Igbo land. We don't have to run away from it, seeking to survive somewhere else. Let's go back, provide jobs for the people, provide good education for the youths, restructure our infrastructure, be able to provide for those old people down there suffering, dying for hunger. So we all need to unite and understand that we are doing well on somewhere else. Let's do well in Biafra land.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Everybody who's participated in this program today, all our listeners, wherever you may be in the world, we thank our host and dear brother, Barrister Emeka Madhuwesi, and also our dear sister. I don't know how you got your husband. Your husband is a Biafran. Mrs. Anusem, you are also a Biafran. It's a very potent combination. I wonder what your children will be like. Maybe with them we can even get Biafra. And also our dear brother Amajoy, who made sure that we made this trip, that we completed it here today. And also Chidera for her time, energy and effort in this very noble cause that we are pursuing. A lot of us are very, very sad, and because we were brought up in an Igbo culture that recognized the importance of making sure that life is sacrosanct. Life is sacrosanct where we come from. Ndubisi, that is the name we are known for. That is our name. We give it to our children. There used to be a time when the death of somebody would reverberate, especially a young person. But now they are killing us in Anambra. They are killing us in Abia State as well. There are baby factories all over the place. Students are missing. Adults are missing. Horrendous things are happening. They are killing us in the north. They are deporting us from the west. All manner of iniquity is being visited upon our people. We are here in the United States to try to raise the awareness, the consciousness, bring to the understanding and to the hearing of our people here in the U.S., Biafrans and ostensibly Igbo people, to come to the rescue of their people back home because they are dying, to come and rescue their people because we are finished as a race. That is why we are here. If Americans don't come to our rescue, we'll let the world know that they're a disgrace. If they don't come to our rescue and give us at least a transmitter, we will know that they have wasted the opportunity in this country. Because as Mother was said, God had a reason for placing us everywhere in this world. Americans must play their role in this very noble exercise. They're in a country enjoying freedom that we all celebrated yesterday. A freedom that many people centuries ago fought for and died for, that they may inherit large houses, that they may be able to go and do decent work, that they may be able to be educated. We are asking them today to extend that charitable hand to their people back home. Igbo people are dying. We are suffering as a people, but we don't want to keep crying about it. We want to do something. And we are asking Americans to please do whatever they can to help this noble enterprise. Get us a transmitter for goodness sake. In the name of God, don't give your money to a Yoruba pastor. Go and give it for the transmitter which we require so we can take the message of hope and redemption into every family in Igbo land, into every family in Biafra land. If Radio Biafra is on air broadcasting every blessed day, there will be no more killings. Because they will be exposed, and we'll charge our people
will fortify them, will arm them with knowledge and common sense to resist every manner of oppression that will come their way. Right now, we've lost our direction. Our sense of purpose is being questioned as a people. Our moral fiber doesn't exist in the eyes of some. And our essence for existing, in fact, is being called into question. It is our duty, those of you in the United States of America and listeners all over the world, to ensure that shame and dishonor does not befall our people, that the humiliation of 1966 to 1970 is a thing of the past, and more importantly, that these errors are corrected. We are not going to relent until we get Biafra. We are not going to retreat. We are not going to surrender. We want people to mark our words that Radio Biafra is incorruptible. Radio Biafra is whiter than white. Any day that Radio Biafra abandons the pursuit of Biafra in truth and honesty, we will cease to exist as human beings. If you see me on the road, if I'm in America where you have a lot of guns, you shoot me. If you see me back home, if you cannot find a gun, you use a machete and cut off my head. Because we cannot go forward and then backwards. This is Biafra we're talking about. The restoration of the kingdom of heaven on this earth. We thank you all for listening. We are still at the residence of our dear brother till tomorrow, when we'll be moving over to Los Angeles, not to go and act a film, but to continue to profess the word of God through Radio Biafra, which is the redemption of his people. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless you all. Thank you.
sombe me gagne fea. La 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 la